Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 315. This is Kevin. I know it's an unfamiliar voice. On the other end is Mr. Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
Yep. The C-lister is right here with you.
You know what? I thought about bringing that up to the top of the show earlier today and then completely didn't think about it when we started the show.
Holding it down for us while you were on vacation in Mexico. How was that, Kevin?
I was amused that I had a chance to watch SmackDown there. I did not take this opportunity, but I did see it at two bars in the resort on Sunday night. So obviously it was some type of a replay, but outside of that, I did not really pay attention to any wrestling. I'm not sure that I got any text from Jeremy like, Chris Benoit's dead, and then a second text minutes later, I'm not kidding, like another family vacation that I had.
Well, this hasn't really been covered on audio on this site, I believe. I know Jeremy wrote about it, but there was an unfortunate death in the time period that you were gone. Roddy Piper no longer with us.
Yeah, that did happen, and I did see that. Yeah, I mean, that's just a bummer.
Yeah, that was definitely a bummer for me.
You know, to have Dusty Rhodes and Rowdy Roddy Piper kick it within, what, about a month of each other?
It's a little under 2 months.
A little under two?
In that regard, not a good summer. I mean, this is not, you know, I guess, fortunately, we have not had the rash of more modern stars or, you know, dying young, but this is the one that, in a weird way, those are the ones that kind of upset you, maybe even make you angry. These are the ones that are just sad because they are the pieces of your childhood, you know, falling, you know, piece by piece.
Yeah, I mean, really the Ultimate Warrior was the first one in that regard. And that one was made especially strange having just seen him at WrestleMania a couple of days prior.
Yeah. The day after he delivered his own eulogy on Raw, practically, yeah, that was definitely a strange one, and that they, yeah, the hits just keep on coming this summer. Hopefully this is the end of it. I mean, Piper was definitely, that hit me hard. I mean, again, you can probably make an argument for me, a lot of people. If it's not for him, you can probably trace your wrestling fandom back to, you know, what he was doing back in, you know, 84, 85. I mean, I met the guy, couldn't have been nicer, so that one definitely hit me pretty hard.
Yeah, I guess in some ways just because I was not fully connected into the interwebs, it maybe didn't quite hit as hard, although I was thinking about it in the meantime. It's not, professional wrestling is not something I really talk to my family about.
Right. Yeah.
My younger brother really is the only one who really had much of an interest at any point, but he was mostly kind of an Attitude Era. Well, I mean, we grew up watching it, and then he kind of jumped in a little bit later on the Attitude Era, and maybe a little bit past that. And he'll ask me for updates and things of that nature, or even read the site. From time to time, just to keep up, but that's his level of involvement in wrestling these days.
Gotcha. Yeah, my older brother's kind of the same way.
So yeah, it's not like I was down there like, oh, Roddy Piper died. What do you think about that, Ron? My older brother. Yeah, it's just like he doesn't care. Although, I mean, he was the one that took me to WrestleMania 2 when it was still. We did not have pay-per-view, so we went to the local Jaffa Mosque and watched the pay-per-view with the probably... I mean, that's where the WWE had their house shows in Altoona back in the day, And yeah, that's where they showed it. I believe I saw 2 and 3 there, and then after that, watched them at home.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, he has some involvement and would have been familiar with Piper, but it's still, again, not really something that interests him past the point of taking his kid brother to something.
Yeah, my older brother was actually the one who sent me the text about Roddy Piper passing away, and I was actually at work when I found out. I'm sneaking a cell phone break, in between work, and so that definitely, it really hit me for about an entire day. Really, I basically was in a crappy mood for about 24 hours until I finally got to go out and just drink, and kind of have a good time with friends. It really did feel like, for me, it felt like the loss of a family member or a friend.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I said, I think being on vacation softened the blow a little bit for me. But he was another one to me that I was definitely a heavy on the baby face cheerer as a child. And him, I think Flair, Piper, and Mr. Perfect were probably about the three heels that I had any liking for, or at least admiration for at that point. I think there really was something else with him.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, it is definitely a bummer, and it's one of those things where I wish, and I just haven't done it that much. I wish I'd go back and watch some stuff more. Like some of the older stuff that I watched when I was younger, just because I think that I'd have a completely different opinion of it now.
I mean, that was for me with Dusty Rhodes. I mean, this is long before he died. I mean, I did not start to appreciate Dusty one bit until I was an adult, and he started putting all that stuff out there on DVD, and there was also for the WWE Network, Classics on Demand, which I was able to have. So it, I developed an appreciation for Dusty before adulthood. I mean, Piper was absolutely a childhood favorite. By the time I was old enough to remember, when Piper came back after 2 years away, when They Live kind of blew up, but the follow up to his acting career didn't exactly explode, so he came back and he was a total baby face, pretty much the rest of his career. I mean, they tried to turn a heel at different points, but WCW and in WWE, a decade or so ago, when he came back and hit Hogan in the head with a pipe at WrestleMania 19 when he was wrestling Vince, by that point Piper was just a legend. No one was going to boo the guy, so he was a baby face pretty much for the last nearly 30 years, actually, 25 plus years.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. When they try to get people to boo legends, it's a near impossible task. Just because they are. I mean, there was at some point everyone acknowledges how great they were, and it doesn't matter that they were a heel during the majority of their really wrestling stint. It does kind of stink. These things pop up from time to time. Did it stink quite as much when Gigi got booted from Tough Enough this week, Chris? Did that hit you?
Oh, that's a terrible segue. You're a little rusty. She wasn't gonna win. I mean, at this point, with the women, especially, it's Sarah. I mean, Sarah is going to win right afterward. You're going to be eaten alive in the NXT locker room or at the performance center. I don't know. There's probably a very good chance that will happen. But yeah, it's there as competition. There's no way Amanda is winning in 2 weeks. I mean, there's none. I mean, if she does, I will queue up Brie Bella's entrance theme, Brie Mode, and I will do a dance for four minutes, because that's about how long the song actually is. I will put that on YouTube. If Amanda wins this competition, I will actually do that, and we can put it on the site.
Outstanding. You heard it here first, kids. we all cannot wait until... The one thing that just kind of hit me is Daniel Bryan is the only person to have not made a save. Now, I told you earlier today, the 2 weeks of Tough Enough that happened when I was in Mexico, I just erased them because I don't care enough. But that was kind of the interesting thing about this week's show, is that it's the first show that I think I really enjoyed.
This is a really good show. I mean, I like that the challenge was purely in ring. It's a pet peeve of mine, that the not in ring challenges. But so I liked that it was purely in ring. I thought this show utilized Jericho the best he's been used. Everyone kind of everyone made sense. The coaches, the judges, the contestants, put their for where they're at right now. Best for, I mean, each of them has faults in their game. Of course, it's eight weeks from being trained from scratch. so of course they're gonna have their faults. I did thoroughly enjoy tonight's episode, and as you are in something like this when it's being down, when it's really getting down to it. It's pretty much over for the women already. So next week's gonna be all about the guys.
Yeah,
you can't put a girl on the bottom next week.
That was kind of fun. Well, yeah, I guess all three guys go in the bottom then next week.
Yeah, that's the way it has to be. Yeah. So that, I mean, I think this week they, I don't want to say that they knew that they had to get rid of it. Well, it was either they come down to three guys and two girls, or two guys and three girls. So it was either they come down there, the way that it worked out,
right?
Depending on how much manipulation is going on behind the scenes, I could see Brian being kind of pushed into giving his save to someone, maybe particularly Josh, just to hedge their bets and make sure the big guy isn't who is still arguably the most talented person there as well. And it's not like he's like some big dumb ox who can't get it right, but Vince still loves him for his size. That's all he has. He's shown more than that. But I could see Brian using his save on him just to make sure, hedge their best to make sure he's in the final too.
I guess I agree with your assessment there that he does seem to have more personality than, and I think that's kind of the problem, really, that maybe gets oversimplified when it says that WWE likes big guys. I don't know why it seems to be I don't know if it's a stereotype, but it's just not mentioned that a lot of the big guys that I seem to make fun of are just not good personality wise. And Josh has at least something. He doesn't have, you can tell that ZZ had to put on shows for people at the Alligator Place.
He had to
talk for a living.
Yeah, exactly. You can tell ZZ isn't, he's not smooth as talker either, but he's obviously got a charisma. Very likable fellow. He's making some good points on Tough Enough about a tough talk. About people gotta care about the guy. Josh can throw around Tanner all day, but who cares? Meanwhile, ZZ's the one taking a beating and then emoting to the audience and bringing an audience to feeling sorry for him and cheering him on. I understood his point there. It's again. not the smoothest way to get to that point, but I understood his point completely.
Yeah, and it's still kind of funny that really a lot of the contestants are downplaying the popularity thing. All they've got, all ZZ and Sarah have are their fans, and it's just like, well, the fans are voting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, do I believe that this is, you know, if they don't want either of them in to win, well, they probably shouldn't, have left it up, in the end of the day, no matter what the judges say, no matter what the coaches say, it's a fan vote, and that's it. I mean, the fan vote is the only call that matters, that really matters. You know, that's on WWE, for tinkering with the formula and not having it be, the company's decision.
Right. But I'd have a hard time just because there's something of a participatory part to all of the shows like this. Like,
I mean, there's two ways to do it. It's, audience vote or the experts vote. They chose to go with the audience vote. I mean, there's a possibility that, Steve Austin being unavailable to, play the same role he did in 2011, played a factor in them going, trying, taking the show in a different direction. But this is the direction that the show has been in. And, and obviously from a rating standpoint, the show has been a failure. I mean, it's slipped under a million viewers on USA, which is a disaster. it's last week it reached like half of the USA station average, which, obviously they're committed to, taking it this through to the end, but I could see this not coming back.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something that if they feel like it, they could run it on the WWE Network. But honestly, that I loved it. It might have been my favorite part of both shows. Honestly, when The Miz was talking up someone from Tough Enough main eventing WrestleMania and how he wanted to see that happen, and Paige turns away from him and starts drinking water, and Daniel Bryan just kind of, he didn't put his head down the desk, but he just kind of like hunches his head over and starts looking down at the desk going, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's saying this." I was almost in tears at that moment.
I actually did not notice that, but yeah, that level from any of these people. But then again, The Miz has main evented WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I mean, he's technically from, I mean, I guess he was saying that he was hoping that someone would win it, or win Tough Enough and get there, I believe, at least was the point to me.
Right, I mean, there's no mistaking it. I mean, the most successful Tough Enough winner was probably John Morrison. And he's no longer with the company, so and he never quite reached, the top, or even the top of the middle. So,
yeah.
So I mean, as an experiment to find the next great superstar, Tough Enough has never really developed that potential. But most seasons have ended up entertaining. This one was very, very rough in the beginning, but I said this. That night was my favorite episode so far. We will see what happens.
I mean, we will. But honestly, if you just go by the fan votes, it's going to be Sara Lee and ZZ. Honestly,
yeah, I don't. Definitely Sarah. Amanda isn't likable enough, or hateable enough, or just playing using the wrestling lingo over enough. I could see if they really push the button of Josh being a single dad and play up his story better. I could see Josh overtaking ZZ, but they've already failed. You can see last week's episode. Last week's episode was all about trying to establish that ZZ was lazy and he should go, and he still didn't go. So he's my pick, but I'm not willing to make any kind of dancing bet that Josh won't win.
Yeah, I mean, there is a good possibility that that he can pull it out. Again, he has a good look, and he has some personality. So, we shall see. I mean, I don't think, again, maybe to go back to that point, too, I don't see, and maybe it is just entirely too early from in their developmental process to go, oh, yeah, that guy has it.
Yeah, that's if Josh wins, or even if Josh wins second place and still gets a contract, that's going to, they almost have to start tempering their praise for him, because once he actually gets in developmental, that's not going to be good for him. I mean, with everyone who's already been there, years in that system, to have this guy who kind of come in that, the coaches are calling, already saying has the hit factor. So it's almost too much praise for him. It's almost like they're trying too hard to get him to be the one who wins this competition.
Man, I cannot get rid of this cough. But what, we have 2 weeks, until the final, then? We get the male elimination next week.
Yep, and then there's going to be a final episode where I guess they vote off the remaining man and the remaining woman.
Yeah, so it'll be a quick end. We will be done with this before summer ends, and we'll go from there. Until then, we've got plenty of wrestling to talk about.
We indeed do.
We can start with Impact Wrestling if you'd like.
I haven't watched that show in about a month.
I was just waiting to see your reaction.
There's literally, they've taped all their TV through God only knows how long. So nothing really to talk about there. So unless we want to get into spoilers, that are out there, if you're interested. I mean, just, what can you say? Until they're extended on Destination America, or find a new TV home, or they're completely out of the TV game by 2016, you just gotta shrug your shoulders with them. There's nothing to talk. There's nothing to talk about.
No. I mean, the one thing that only pops out in my mind is the fact that they were smart enough to have Austin Aries job to Rockstar Spud as he was going out the door. But the problem is that one of your very few marketable guys is leaving again.
Yeah. But they'll just redact the whole thing and bring him back. If the situation improves, with their, both financially and as far as their continued presence on television, so it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's wrestling. It's a retirement stipulation in wrestling.
Yeah, but if he's smart enough, and I hope he is, he won't see himself back in there. And nor will he hopefully see himself on Global Force Wrestling either.
Yeah. I don't know about WWE's interest in him now. I mean, a big thing, before he went on his, he got into TNA and went on actually a very good run, you know, a few years back. You know, that was as good as, you know, anything a TNA was going to be. You know, a big thing for him was he was actually turned down for the Steve Austin, you know, season of Tough Enough. It was pretty much down on the business and, you know, ready to give up until, you know, that the TNA run that saw him be, you know, champion a couple of times, you know, came about. So I gotta do something with himself.
Oh.
I
just naturally figured he was going back to ROH.
Right. I mean, none of these guys should be signing exclusive contracts with anybody. You know, just play the field and whoever's going to pay you the most. Just today, like, Dave Meltzer got his hands on one of the Lucha Underground contracts that, you know, those guys signed. It's like, they are locked up for 7 seasons with that show.
Huh.
7 years, essentially, you can't sign with WWE until the show thing's completely canceled, which is not it yet. And I do enjoy the show a lot. It is definitely, you get a chance to, you know, run through the 40-episode series of Lucha Underground. I do highly recommend
it. Is that online?
I found it through other means.
Ah.
Well, but, you know, yes. And I can send you a link to that.
Our fine cable network that we share does not broadcast. Because what? Oh, El Rey Network.
Yeah, El Rey Network. No. Pretty much no one but Comcast, the satellite companies, has. So, but, and they have got to, you know, avail it online. I believe that's their next play to hit, try and get, you know, probably the entirety of season one and the new season two. They hope to start filming whenever they get the green light. On a streaming service instead of trying to go for more of a cable deal, which hopefully happens. Once again, it's a very good show, but man, the wisdom of signing essentially a 7-year contract, I'm not with that at all. Although hopefully the thing really takes off and, you know, it becomes worth it for all the stars on that show.
Yeah, I mean, it did sound like. Because Jeremy was kind of describing it to me a little bit, that they try to do movie parts with wrestling parts. And it, to me, that's one of those things where TNA goes, oh, we're different. We have a 6-sided ring. And it's like, no, just because your ring is a different shape, it's not really different. That's just like if someone's like, oh, we're not the UFC. We have a square ring.
Right, yeah, and Lucha Underground is really different. It is like a TV. It's a TV show with wrestling. It's not a wrestling show that's on TV. You know, other people try to claim that, you know, Vince says we do movies, or, you know, the infamous story of, you know, Ted Turner calling him up in, you know, 19, you know, back in the late 80s, saying, "Guess what, Vince? I'm in the wrestling business." Well, I'm in the entertainment business. Well, that's good luck to you, Ted, but I'm in the entertainment business. There's a big difference. You're both in the same business, but no. What Lucha Underground does is very different. It is, you know, everyone's a character. You know, everyone's truly playing a character that's exclusive to that show. It's not, you know, some of them, I guess, bring their Mexican gimmicks with them, but overall, everyone's got a character. They have no boundaries to what they can do within this world, including murder.
Oh, wow.
Because they're just they're characters in a TV show, like any action series or a telenovela, which is probably another element of it. No, it is very good. I do recommend it to anyone out there to seek it out if they can.
Right. Well.
Well, I guess we should probably get to the biggest show of the week that most everyone out here had listening to us probably has already watched, and that would be Monday Night Raw, which, to me, over the last month has gone through a tremendous turnaround. These 3-hour shows are, I won't say that they're flying by, but they are being paced so much better. They've been so much more focused ever since they, you know, ever since the Undertaker vs. Rock deal. And it's, I have been enjoying Raw a lot these last few weeks. And last night's show was as good of a show as they've had.
Well, I will take it that you missed the first half hour to say that you enjoyed the pacing. Because
the opening segment's always going to be what it is. I mean, that's the formula. And there's just
When you tack on an extra 5 minutes to the usual 15, you're making that opening 15 even worse than normal. Especially when you really do like that mouth gimmick is terrible.
It was pretty bad.
It was, not only was it bad, it was really a repeat of all the information that Seth Rollins had covered already.
Yeah, he didn't really have that much to talk about. It was, they easily could have cut that part out. They could have gotten that down to 10. Because they did have enough to cover it, at least 10. But, yeah, it was a... what can you say? I mean, it's the way they do business.
Yeah, well, I just had to point that out. If if you're going to talk about pacing, I've got to bring that part up.
Well, you brought it up then. And I do agree with you. That is, it does... it often starts to show on the wrong foot. In that regard, but are you gonna be okay, dude?
Yeah.
Oh man, but it's but the remainder of the show, I've been enjoying Raw a lot these last few weeks. Except last night's show was no exception. The last 2 hours were certainly bookended by two very good matches and. Everything in between, again, pretty entertaining. Very interesting, though, that they did their kind of hedging their bets with involving at least Cesaro and Owens are going off in their own direction. Neither of them are going to be in the title picture, coming up at SummerSlam, but they did the hedging of their bets to make just in case John Cena does not make it to SummerSlam, that Randy Orton and maybe even Sheamus are right there to either do one-on-one Orton versus Rollins or a triple threat, or the one-on-one match that gets turned into a triple threat halfway through.
yeah, it would be kind of funny to see that happen, just because of the way Seth Rollins won the championship.
Right, it absolutely would be, but yeah, I mean, of course they had Cena went out to Tough Enough tonight and basically said he's gonna be there, he's gonna be at SummerSlam, so I'm gonna operate under the assumption that they wouldn't even on Tough Enough in front of the significantly smaller audience, maybe quarter of the audience that watches Raw, they still wouldn't in any way false advertise Cena for SummerSlam, so I do imagine Cena will, and Cena looked good. I mean, he had a hell of a plastic surgeon, and I'll give him that. You really couldn't tell that anything had ever been.
Yeah, he had a bit of a black eye still.
Yeah.
Which is not too surprising for that level of a broken nose.
Oh yeah, I mean, an underreported story last week, between the Hogan scandal breaking, and then one part of the week, and then at the end of the week, Roddy Piper dying. It was kind of an underreported story that Cena was rushed for emergency surgery because he was having difficulty breathing. I mean, that was bad. I mean, what happened to him was. Pretty bad and pretty scary.
Yeah, his ability to tough things out is always surprising.
Yeah, I do imagine that it will still be Cena versus Rollins at SummerSlam, and then Orton and Sheamus will go off in their own match. And, I generally enjoy Raw. I think that they did a good job with the undercard of SummerSlam, and they had as good of a show as they're going to have with Cena on the shelf and Undertaker and Brock back there.
Yeah. after that opening 20 minutes, they really did pace the show fairly well, and they continue to feature the ladies after that big opening segment.
Yeah, they're getting good segments, they're getting good, you know, good times to go in there. The match was very good. You know, the commentary was interesting, and you know how little Charlotte and Becky had to say. I mean, I'm not sure if that was, you know, a direction issue, you know, in the earpieces, or if that was just them, you know, being very nervous, knowing that, you know, they chose not to say much, being that, you know, plenty of people have buried themselves by becoming a rambling mess on that, you know, on the headset, and really, really, really hurting themselves. So maybe it was better for them, and Paige absolutely, you know, did a very good job picking up the slack on it. And the match in the ring was still was very good. I mean, Bellas and Alicia Fox proving that they have, you know, they should still be there, that they have every right to still, you know, be part of this division. Sasha, I think, got a really good reaction from the audience, and yeah, it was very good. I will agree with Jeremy that the finish was sloppy with the smallest person in the match, you know,
rolling up the
down the biggest person in the match, and you know, for you know, holding their shoulders to the mat for a count of three is, you know, whatever you try to do, like a roll up finish, or you know, with one person, with the person smaller, rolling up the person bigger, it never completely works, and it didn't work here, but it didn't really hurt anything in the long run either.
Right. And then I think that's most of the problem right now is that they're establishing them as teams, and it doesn't allow them to feature everyone. Like, when they're trying to split up even all that mic time, you know, it's hard to feature somebody when they've got to give the lion's share of the commentary to at least some of the guys that are regularly down there announcing, and then you've got to fit in three more people. Right. And then Paige is the ringleader to the whole thing, so she's got to talk more than the other two. It's just tough. And, I mean, they do a decent job. They had the... they've done the Charlotte video package the last couple of weeks. I feel like they haven't really done a Becky Lynch one.
That will probably be coming. It's everything's been good. I mean, I hope it. You know, after they do the big match at SummerSlam, that the team element kind of starts to, you know, drift away, and we start getting more individuals, you know, individual performances. I mean, what the team elimination match that they're doing at SummerSlam does, and this is actually smart, is it delays Nikki Bella having to defend her title on pay-per-view another month, because all she's got to do is get to September for that 300 mark to be in and around, you know, the Night of Champions pay-per-view about the middle of the month. So that's actually smart to, you know, delay that. And in a four-hour show, hopefully, you know, they'll get time. I mean, I'm hoping for a very good wrestling show at SummerSlam. I'm hoping, you know, because it's a 4-hour show, but they haven't announced any musical acts or anything or any of the Gaga that, you know, the Hall of Fame ceremony, you know, introductions. It's not going to be a lot of, you know, Gaga like they have at WrestleMania. So I'm hoping for more of a very good wrestling show with matches getting time. So I imagine that in a match that could be up to 8 eliminations. I mean, it won't be like the old women's elimination matches of the past that went boom, boom, boom in 5 minutes. They'll get their 15 or 20, and it'll be good.
Yeah, which is still going to which is still going to be pretty quick with if they do 8 eliminations in 15 minutes. That's still one every 2 minutes. that's slightly under 2 minutes, actually. You need 16 minutes. Right.
As long as Tamina's the first out, that's all. That's
well,
and judging by how rough she was with Rebella last night, I'm sure the rest of the girls do also hope that Tamina is the first one out, and they don't have to be taking her clotheslines and her boots to the face.
Yeah, her and Alicia Fox are still definitely, to me, the lowest on the totem pole in this equation.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't care if they both go out in the first, 2 minutes. You know, I'm gonna assume that everyone will be eliminated, and it will come down to Nikki Bella and whoever her next singles challenger is going to be, and that person will be here. It's kind of booking 101 stuff right there, but that's the way it should go. Really. Unless they want to establish one entire team as being more dominant than all three, I guess it's possible. But I don't think there's going to be any kind of a clean sweep with one team winning the whole thing.
No, I don't think so either. They're going to try to establish some type of a hierarchy.
I can certainly see Charlotte winning last eliminating Nikki. I think that might be a safe bet.
Yeah. It does kind of crack me up that the primetime players who were at least nominally involved the next segment with New Day, they have gotten very little camera time since winning the titles. And it's kind of funny to me because...
Well, they've been on commentary most weeks.
Well, yeah, there's been that. But I felt like New Day kind of got hosed when they got the titles, too. Like, primetime players were featured in all those backstage skits, ripping on people, kind of having a lot of fun developing their characters. And then they, all of a sudden, they win the titles from New Day out of the blue.
Right, yeah.
And then they kind of just go into maybe commentary mode, and they don't really get to do any segments, really. Really ripping on New Day, and New Day just gets to come out week after week and rip on them and have promos.
New Day has absolutely come into their own since losing the titles. I mean, they've added the skip and clap to the ring. They've got their new chant, which you just gotta love it. You just gotta love that new chant.
I said it in my Almost Live, definitely half-ass review of Raw. Like, I'm beyond the point of being mad that they're over because of a failed gimmick. Like, they have really taken the bull by the horns. And though I still don't buy their story on Chris Jericho's podcast that this was their plan all along when Vince pitched this idea that they were going to be a heel team, I buy that about as far as I can throw Big E Langston, which is not very... whatever the case, again, they have done an outstanding job with the gimmick ever since turning heel.
Yeah.
And again, it's beyond time for hating them for that portion. They have been outstanding with it, and they continue to get more entertaining and more annoying every week.
Oh yeah, Xavier Woods outside the ring, works as hard as anybody. He's just the whole gimmick is good. I hope, and I can kind of see them hopefully getting the tag titles back here, because I imagine we're getting very imminent to the Usos returning. So I think they did have some very good matches there. So I definitely see a heel, the top heel team with belts by the time, the Usos are back in the picture, so they can, you know, pretty immediately go to that feud. I don't see that they're going to, you know, make the Usos, you know, work their way back to the top slowly. I'm pretty sure they'll just get, you know, kind of thrown, you know, get a couple of wins on Raw, and then they'll be back to, you know.
That's the only criticism you can have. Like, there are tag teams, and though I don't think Los Matadores are ever going to really be in the title hunt, really, JBL should have some idea who they are at this juncture, and the fact that he doesn't know, and Michael Cole doesn't know, and Byron Saxton sure as hell doesn't know, is really just an indictment that, again, like, I don't expect them to be the main event of Raw and the main event of WrestleMania. Like, just give these guys something to work with. Just a little bit of something so that we know who they are and that there's some reason to care for them other than the fact that there is a little person who accompanies them to ring.
Right, yeah. I guess they're getting a little something now. It's a little something. I mean, in the end, them and Lucha Dragons are just there to kind of to fly and provide some action. And the real heat's with, you know, New Day and the primetime players. But it should be a good match. I do actually look forward to it.
I guess that's the other thing. Like, sometimes Darren Young, I think he's a good wrestler. And he doesn't get to show it that much. Titus is a lot of fun in the ring. And New Day, they're all pretty good in the ring. So it doesn't matter which of the three who are in there. I mean, I think Big E is the best out of the three there.
Yeah, I do agree. I think, yeah, Big E needed this run. Big E definitely did. I mean, if they want to take a run with him as a single when this runs a course, I think they'll be ready for it. But I also hope that this ride goes as long as it can go. I'm enjoying it. They're adding new things, new elements to the act every week. It's a weekly highlight, so I hope that time doesn't come too soon.
Well, the other big match, really, leading into SummerSlam, or at least one of them, is Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns taking on the Wyatt family, or two-thirds Shield versus two-thirds Wyatt family, one might say. They were kind of the other, one of the other big segments of the night. Your thoughts, sir?
I like the match. I like how it was laid out. I like how they had both Reigns and Wyatt at ringside. I mean, Luke Harper was, you know, needed the win to be taken seriously in a near top level match at SummerSlam. So I'm glad he got the win. And they continue to really push the button hard at just how great of friends Ambrose and Reigns are. I mean, I think it's been a great thing. It's because when one turns, it will matter, and people will feel something, and it can be a big feud eventually. You know? I don't know if Ambrose will, you know, will SummerSlam, but you know they keep turning the knife of, you know, this great friendship, and that I've mentioned, you know, months back. I mean, I like it. I think that people want to see two guys just be buddies. You know, we haven't had that kind of friendship in maybe Shawn and Triple H, or because I mentioned before, he's no friends. He's the only person he's ever been linked to put as a friend on TV.
I was gonna make
my joke about what Cena did to poor Zack Ryder, but you know, go ahead.
I guess you know, with Triple H and Michaels are probably the last guys to do that, but they had become such a parody of themselves in a lot of ways that it's been an even longer time to me since they just kind of had that genuine friendship thing. And Ambrose and Reigns have right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. But this has been, it's the opposite of, what has happened in this over the last decade of teams just being split up and, for no reason, and, it benefits neither of them. This is the opposite of that. This is, when one of them turns on the other, it's going to cut like a knife. And that's exactly what, a break of a team or a friendship should do.
Yeah, and I agree with what you said earlier there, too. I'm not sure that SummerSlam is the place that it's going to happen in particular. But it is going to happen. They are stressing it entirely too much. Because I don't want to see Ambrose on Team Wyatt, and I don't want to see Reigns there either.
Right, no, it won't fit. It'd be a really bad fit. So, yeah, eventually down the road, the turn is gonna be a pretty big deal, but for right now, just keep them together, keep them as friends. I think that Ambrose helps Reigns a lot. I think that since they linked them back up, post-WrestleMania, linking them back up on TV together has been a big help to Reigns' reaction. And I think it's been, it makes him relatable, it makes him likable in a way that he wasn't when he was the lone wolf, the big dog, getting that, whatever, however many cliches they could throw at him between, Rumble and WrestleMania.
Yeah. And oh gosh, okay. Next big segment in since we're just kind of mowing through these now, the two hateable couples are involved in the next big segment. In my humble opinion, Lana and the still not anywhere Dolph Ziggler. Except for filming some crappy movie, evidently.
With Kane. No, that's a buddy cop movie.
Yes. Jeremy made that same joke today when we were discussing this. It really should be. They could do it a la Daniel Bryan and Kane. But, evidently, that is not in the cards.
the two mismatched couples. I mean, I've enjoyed Rusev thoroughly throughout this whole thing. He has been the shining light in all this stupidity because he is, embracing his role as the Bulgarian. They haven't called him that, but that's what I call him, the Bulgarian slave boy. And having these two women essentially fighting over him, it's been really. He's been really good.
They haven't really given Lana any reason to cheer for her other than the fact that people were already cheering for her, so they're just continuing to do so.
I mean, the last few weeks of this feud has been pretty much, someone creative with a foot fetish, giving these girls excuses to kick off their high heels, essentially. did Summer really did torque back hard on Lana. I kind of felt that one. I felt like, that she was being bent in half, practically.
This is one where I pointed this out to Jeremy, and I guess I have a hard time worrying about that. Lana, in real life, was a trained ballerina. Which means that she is quite flexible. And on one of the Divas segments, the Diva Revolution segments last week, I believe it was Sasha Banks was working over Charlotte's back, and, like, bending her backwards. And I'm like, look, she bridges for her, Charlotte bridges for her finisher. Why am I concerned if her back is being bent? Like, she bends it more on her own for her finisher, and it doesn't hurt her. Like, do you think that a couple of knees in the back's gonna, in less bending, is gonna make it hurt that much more? And I was just like, well, whatever, she's a trained ballerina, she's really flexible, this isn't really hurting her, I don't care. But it does look impressive. In the context, it's the best that you can do. It's nice that Summer Rae is obviously using Rusev's finisher to help hurt his former valet.
I did like that part. Now Lana on commentary did say that Dolph is supposed to be back after SummerSlam. Now, is that a red herring that he shows up, you know, all full of piss and vinegar next week, ready to kick Russo's ass, so that they pack that match onto the SummerSlam card? Because it's not going to be on SummerSlam. They're debating a lot of TV time during the, you know, the weeks, you know, to build up the SummerSlam for a match that's not going to happen until after. So I'm more into the belief that, you know, that Dolph's showing up, you know, next week.
I don't know. I think that I would hope that they, with another week to go, that they'll find some way to get Ziggler in there in time for SummerSlam, especially since they're filling a 4-hour card. But really, it's going to be similar to WrestleMania. In and of the fact that I would imagine that Brock and Taker is going to take up, you know, anywhere between 20 to 30 minutes of time. And then if John Cena does indeed take on Seth Rollins, that's another 30 minutes. So, I mean, really, with two matches, you're chewing up an hour of that 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, yeah. So, and then you're just left with a... you know, for everything else, you know, just a regular pay-per-view time. I mean, once again, I certainly see, you know, I see this being a very good show. I think that, you know, as long as everyone's healthy going in, I think that, you know, they got the talent to do a 4-hour show and give individual matches more time than they would usually get. And it should work out well. Now, one match that's hopefully they won't drag out too long, although I certainly enjoyed the segment that they did, is the big tag match with Stardust and King Barrett against Neville and Stephen Mel of Arrow fame.
Honestly, I was a little surprised by... I guess that even something as basic as jumping into the ring like that, I don't feel that other athletes always take to the wrestling ring quite that well. I guess I was at least impressed with Amel's athleticism in the situation, and even his kind of attack on Stardust.
Well, he is an actor who does all his own fight scenes on a show with a lot of fight scenes. So he's got a good base for this. I don't know, you know, I don't have anything in front of me that tells me what kind of an athlete he was in high school or college, but I imagine, I'm sure he played some sports. He's probably got more, you know, legit, might just have more legit credibility than probably a number of the guys on the roster. Certainly more than someone like Miz, you know. Guys in the mats, but it's fine, and I'm sure it will be fine at SummerSlam. Huh. I mean,
I am laughing because he was Casey Jones in the sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
he still is. That hasn't come out yet.
Oh,
Sheamus is going to be Rocksteady, for goodness sakes. You
know what? I know that my my nephews will probably love him. The youngest of the two nephews goes around wielding anything that looks mildly like a hockey stick and saying that he's Casey Jones. So Stephen Amell might have a 3-year-old fan in the making. yeah, no real history here as far as on the Wikipedia about what he may or may not have done. But considering that he's from Canada, I'm going to guess hockey.
Yeah, I imagine as well. That was probably a good guess. But no, I mean, in the end, it should be fine. I mean, Barrett and Rhodes are always, you know, serviceable, and you know, Neville should carry things, you know, well on the other side. So it'll be a fun little match. I really don't have, you know, I don't really have much of a problem with it.
Yeah, the only thing that cracked me up, I remember you posting that blog that Cody Rhodes did about how he wanted to carry this through for Dusty, and I guess I didn't really get it at first, and I still don't really get it at all. I don't know if Dusty came up with this angle that he was supposed to start a feud with somebody from a TV show.
Well, the first time Mel was in the front row, that took place before Dusty died, actually. So this has been in the making for quite a long time. But yeah, that is interesting that, you know, that he really feels strongly about, you know, Cody obviously really feels strongly about this, feels strongly that, you know, he started this angle, he's gonna finish it. I mean, the part I kind of gleaned up from the blog was, he's come to the realization that there's no real hope for a great singles career for him. So maybe after this, he might be looking for a new line of work. I really kind of got that feeling from him from when I read that blog.
Oh. Yeah, well, I hope he can write comic books better than he can write an angle with the WWE bookers.
Yeah, I mean, Stardust still annoys the crap out of me. Make no mistake about it. I'm not a fan of the gimmick. Never been a fan of the gimmick. But you know, all things considered, last night was a success.
Right. Well, I do not disagree with you. Hopefully, everyone listening considers this show a success.
They missed this immensely.
I'm sure they did. I got the cries from Twitter about missing me while I was in Mexico from nobody.
Really? I didn't get any of those.
Man, but I don't think there's anything else to touch on here. Hopefully I will be rid of this dreaded cough next week when it all comes down. And the one fine beverage that has helped me cough the most has been Victory Brewing Dirt Wolf Double IPA. I'm not coughing because it's bad. I'm coughing because I probably should not have had a beverage during the show. I probably just should have stuck with water. And just gone at it straight up like that. So, for at Defrango11 and for at Stunt Granny and for at Chris Calamita, yeah, that's it for this week, grandkids. Have a good night.